Now, when I read this, I know it'll seem strange, but I'm just going to give you the 2 points that God gave me to deal with you about this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 17 is a very familiar account in the life of the prophet Elijah and the miracle that took place at Zarephath. And we know what took place there. We've heard sermon after sermon on it. You'll be familiar with it in verse 12 of 1 Kings 17. Verse 12. He's now speaking to this woman. And she said, "As the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a what? In a what? In a cruse, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now remember, he's made a great request to take what she has the last of to give to him. Verse 14, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel," this is the prophet speaking to her now, "that the barrel of meal shall not waste," that means it won't run out, "the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the what? The cruse of what? Oil." So it's important that you see what's in the cruse. "The cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Verse 16, "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the what? Cruse of what? Oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah." Then turn, if you will, over to 1 Chronicles 27. And for time's sake, just allow me to kind of introduce what's happening here. David is king, and he's appointing different people for various jobs. And there's the jobs to take care of the cellars of wine. There's the various grounds that needed tilled, the fields, the work of the field. He gave different jobs to different people. But here we read of a passage that you only find one time in the Word of God dealing with this subject. Verse 28, 1 Chronicles 27, chapter 27 and verse 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 28. And don't put your Bibles away. You're going to need it at the end. 1 Chronicles chapter 27 and verse 28. "And over the olive trees and the sycamore trees that were in the low plains was Baal-Hanan, the Gederite. And over the," what's the next word? "Cellars of what? Oil was Joash." Now oil, I preached last week on fresh oil. And we know by now, for those of you that were in the service, oil always, through the Word of God, represents what? The Holy Spirit. Now I know it's Sunday morning, some of you just waking up, but You've got to understand this or you'll miss the whole meaning. It always represents the Holy Spirit. And I preached last week from Psalm 92 on fresh oil. And this morning, as we look at the oil, we see the oil in relation to two separate things. First, the cruse. And second, the cellars of oil. Now, for some of the younger folks, you'll probably have a hard time with the word cellar. And I'm going to explain to you what that is, not because you're ignorant. It's just times have changed and a lot of people don't know what a cellar is any longer. But for those of you that are a little more mature, you know it was a vital part of your life years ago. You didn't function without cellars. And we had to have cellars in order to save the goods, to eat, to survive. Cellars was an important part of life, and it was in biblical times as well. And we're thinking in relation to the cruse. What does the Holy Spirit have to do with the cruse? And what does the Holy Spirit have to do with the cellars of oil? This oil was known as the king's cellar or the king's oil. So what did it have to do with the king's oil? Now, if you'll stay with me, I believe maybe you'll learn something through this, or that's my prayer. I've learned something. Some of you may have already known it. First of all, with that cruise, the cruise, anytime you read of a cruise in the Bible, a cruise, if you study much in archaeology or history, biblical history, you know, the cruise was, it could have been glass, but very few were glass. It could have been stone, hewn out of stone, or it could have been pottery. Most were pottery. But anytime you read about the cruise, it's always in relation to an individual. Always. This woman, she didn't have enough oil to give to the community. She had enough oil to bake one cake. A cruise usually relates to daily activity. The cruise of water of King Saul was his daily ration of water that he had in his, that David went in. You'll find out David took the cruise of water from King Saul. It usually was in relation to an individual because it held a small amount. It was for every day. That was the purpose of it. But then there was the seller of oils. See, when David became king, he loved God so much and loved the tabernacle of God so much. He wanted to make sure that there was always oil available for tabernacle worship. He wanted to build the temple but couldn't. And he always wanted to make sure that the people had enough oil to meet their needs. So really they developed this cellar. And this cellar was what was used to store massive amounts of oil so that the whole nation would have enough oil if they needed it. Now we're thinking in relation to the Holy Spirit. I believe there are three basic principles taught concerning the Holy Spirit in our life. First of all is what I call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us, if we're saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He that hath not the Spirit is none of his. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you, indwells in you. It takes the Holy Spirit to be born again. So we all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But then there is that time in our life where that we understand a need for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now you say, wait a minute, if he's in me, why do I need filled with the Holy Spirit? It's the time where that the Holy Spirit is there to help us through our consecration or sanctification to the Lord. I'm not going to fuss with you over theological terms. Call it what you want to. It's a time where that you give your all to God and you say, Lord, if I ever do anything, it'll be because of you. And you sell out. And the old saying is, lock, stock, and barrel. And what happens is, the Lord takes the barrel and the oil fills us to an infilling capacity that we can have no other way. And that's what we're talking about with that infilling. The Holy Spirit is there keeping us filled to capacity. But then, there is an overflowing of the Holy Spirit. You have the indwelling at salvation. You have the indwelling for salvation. You have the infilling for sanctification. But then you have the overflowing for saturation. And that's not so much for us as it is for others. See, what happens, the indwelling and the infilling concerns just us. It's personal. But when the oil flows out of us, others are blessed because of it. It's what comes out of us that God uses to bless others. So there's times in our life where that we need to understand, yes, God, first of all, gives us not only the Holy Spirit at salvation, but day by day, just because you have the infilling, it doesn't mean that you don't need day by day help from the Holy Spirit. So this woman had this cruise. I don't believe that that was a large vessel that was filled up and stayed that way until the rain came again. I believe there was just enough for every day. And I'm here to tell you, day by day on this journey, I have found out that God's Spirit is always sufficient. Each step of the journey, each step of the way, day by day, I need something from God. Help from God that can only come from the Holy Spirit. You don't need that just on Sunday. You need it on Monday. And you need it on Tuesday. And you'll need it again Wednesday. And you'll need it again Thursday. And you'll need it again Friday. And you'll need it again Saturday. The precious, precious fullness of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. I'm facing things today that I've never faced before. And I need your help, Lord. That's that day-by-day experience with the Lord. Now, if you think you can come and get sanctified, filled with the Spirit, and go out and do what you want to, and live how you want to, and use God like a spare tire, no. We need to pray God top her off every day. Day by day, I need the Lord. Every day, I need something new from Jesus. Daily, He loadeth us down with His benefits. You'll never quit needing God. You'll need Him when you're young. You'll need Him when you're middle-aged. You'll need Him when you're old. You'll need Him in the good times and the bad times. You'll need Him in good health and bad health. You'll need Him when life is good. And you'll need Him when you're in the hour of death. We need the precious help of the Holy Spirit. But then there are times that we need to understand God also put us in a place that if we are really full, an old preacher that I used to sit under occasionally in meetings, he used to put it this way. If you're really full, it only takes one drop to overflow. Now that woman's need was met, and it could have stopped right there. And it can stop with you. If you decide all I want is my cruse filled with oil, that's all that will ever happen. But if you really care about others, you'll say, Lord, I not only want to be full, but I want to be a blessing to others. He was in the cellars of oil, of the king's cellars of oil. That's where he was at. Oh, I'm about to have a fit. I know where I'm going. Do you know where the cellars of oil, the king said? See, two or three things you have to know about. First of all, it's underground. Any of you that had cellars growing up, you know you used your cellars. It was underground because you didn't have to worry about, if you were wise, it was underground or dug back in the side of a hillside because you didn't have to worry about the temperature change and things freezing. That was a good place to keep your potatoes. It's a good place to keep your apples. You didn't have all the things we have now. You can run to the grocery store and buy another bunch of apples. You couldn't get certain things. You raised it. You had to keep it. You had to keep it. That's what the king's oil was all about. Do you know if oil was exposed to daylight, to natural daylight, it darkens? So they put it in cellars. Because the oil that was used for the purpose of ministering for the Lord, it had to be pure and it had to be the best. Well, if it darkened, it gets gummy and gooey around the edges. So they'd keep it in a cellar where it was always fresh. It was underground. It was a place that was not only underground, but I'm sure that when Joash got this underground position, he realized he was the only one. There's one person appointed to that. It wasn't a job for everybody else. This is about one person being a blessing to others. He was at a position that if he didn't do his job right, the lights went out. All through Israel, everything stopped. Nothing to eat, everything stopped. A lot was hinging on him at this point. He realized that it was underground and nobody knew where that was at. Limited people knew where these were at because it was there to also have a storehouse. That's what the word cellar means. A storehouse so that if they are ever attacked and they're surrounded by the enemy, they've got a storehouse, well glory, to go into to be able to pull that oil out. It was an unappreciated job, but it was an important job. Nobody else knew that Joash was down there in the dark. Nobody else knew that Joash was tending the oil. They were using the oil in the tabernacle. They were using the oil in their house, and nobody realized it. But had it not been for Joash taking a job that nobody else knew about, down in the dark cellars, willing to take care of that oil, the lights would have gone out, the cooking would have ceased, problems would have come. I'm telling you, it was an important job. Recently I heard that they found the cellars of the king's oils. You know where it was at? Under the throne of David. Only place to get the oil was under the king. The king's oil was... Do you hear what I'm preaching to you? In other words, he had the king over top of him. And the oil was all around him. Everywhere he turned, it was oil. He was absolutely surrounded by the oil. Because the king was on the throne. Well, glory, above him, the king was on the throne. I'm here to tell you, if you put anybody else on that throne, there'll not be oil all around you. But as long as you keep the Lord on the throne of your heart, there is oil in abundance all around. Everything you need is provided for you from the king's cellars of oil. He said, I've got all that you need and an abundance of what you need and an abundance to be a blessing to others. Is that important? Well, let's find out. I'm almost done. Why was that oil important? First, it helped people find the Lord. I mentioned last week, I'll not preach it again. That oil was used in the tabernacle. Four sets of curtains over the tabernacle. No window. It was black as 1,000 midnights in there. And the only way the priest could do the job of applying the blood, he had to do it by the light of the lamp. And the lamp had to have oil. So if the lamp went out, no sacrifice was given and no atonement was made. So really what he was doing it to provide the oil so that the people could find forgiveness and find the Lord. If there wasn't light, there couldn't be sacrifice. And the blood could not be applied. Even though the blood had been offered, it could not be applied. But it took the light. That's why the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's reference to the Old Testament. It took the light with the blood to be able to apply it for the atonement. I'm telling you, when we're overflowing with the oil, will help people find the Lord. They'll look at them and say, boy, they sure have changed. I wonder what happened to them. It's because of Jesus. And they see Jesus in us and coming out of us. And that's the difference in our life. Not only to find the Lord, but freedom to worship. There was not only a lamp, a golden lamp with the oil, but there was also a pot of incense. Frankincense was in that. If I asked most people, what was in the incense? Most people right away said, well, frankincense was it. That's right. That's what created the sweet smell. But you'll find out they had to use oil. Why? Because it wouldn't burn without the oil. And what that priest would do is take that mixture of that frankincense and oil, and when the fire was applied to it, the smoke would come up, and he'd take that censer and swing it back and forth until that whole place was filled with the smoke of the incense. And when it was filled with the smoke of the incense, there wouldn't have been any smoke in the house of God. There wouldn't have been anything there. There wouldn't have been any fire if it wasn't for the oil. That represents our worship. Hey, God expects corporate worship. You're to praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Let the fire light the incense. Help it to sweeten the house of God and sweeten others. I don't know about you. A lot of times in life I'll do things maybe that offend people. And I know some people are offended by worship. If they ever get right with God, they'll change their mind on that. But I'm here to tell you, most people, even if they're not a shouter, they like seeing people get blessed. They like seeing people worship the Lord. They love to see people praise God. It takes that. It's also food for strength. The priest was to eat the sacrifice in Exodus chapter 29, but only if it was first covered in oil. That gave the priest the strength that he needed. But I want to focus on this as I close. The oil The king's oil was so important in the house of God for this purpose. It fixed the wounded. It took people that sickness had maimed their body and made them unfit and made them fit. And it healed the wounds. See, I don't know why, as much as I've read it, I don't know why. I'm sitting over there a while ago and the Lord begins to speak to my heart about Leviticus 14. Turn there if you would. Leviticus 14. I want to be telling you this real quick while you're turning there. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I want to read just part of it. This is, you'll find out in verse 2, that it's the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And you know about this. You hear so much about it. You're aware of it. It's how a leper could be cleansed to come back into fellowship. See, his disease made him unclean. He couldn't get around others. We're talking about the overflowing to make us part of others. Leviticus 14. While you're turning there, Leviticus 14. So this is what they would do. He had come to the priest on the day of his cleansing, and the priest would, verse 4, would command them to take to him that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. Then in verse 5, the priest shall command one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Then in verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Now get the picture here. I preached on this. I don't want to take a lot of time. I've preached on this a lot in here. That blood was applied to the living bird. One died under the running water. The blood was then taken, put on the other bird, and that bird was turned loose in a field and flew away. That is a picture of the death and the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. But generally, I don't know why, when I talked about the cleansing, I would stop right there. But look, if you will, in verse 10, 8 days later, and on the eighth day, eight is the number of new beginnings, he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with what? With oil and one what? Log of oil. A log is about a liter of oil. That will tell you. So it's about a liter of oil that he has. Then, of course, down in verse 15, look what happens. After the priest has offered these lambs for a trespass offering, the priest, in verse 15, shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand, the priest's left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his fingers 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand. So you get the picture, don't you? Oil in the palm of the priest, takes his finger, dips it in. He's now applied it to the ear. He's applied it to the right hand. He's applied it to the toe on the right foot. Now, the remnant of that oil, a log of oil, a liter of oil. This is what he does with the remnant of it. In the priest's hand he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. Get the picture. You're a leper, and you have no right to come into God's presence. But suddenly, a high priest declares that you are clean. And he's offering up the offering of the bird and the bird that flew away, a picture of Calvary. But then after that, he takes this oil. And the final result is the oil is applied to the one that's to be cleansed. And I don't have time to go into what each positioning of the oil is. I'd love to, but for time's sake, I can't. But then he pours the remainder of it over his head. That's the overflowing. To be cleansed. Now, think. I hate to say I'm about done. Maybe God's not done. You get to a place where you get wounded. Leprosy left him wounded. Wounded to the place that he felt like he didn't fit and knew he didn't fit in the house of God, in God's presence. But suddenly, he finds cleansing. But the cleansing isn't just through the blood that was offered. 8 days later, the wounds are healing. Can you imagine that leper waiting those 8 days, what he was saying to himself? I know I've got this terrible disease. And I know I've been cut off from everybody. You ever get wounded, that's exactly how you feel. You feel isolated. If you get wounded, you feel cut off. You can be surrounded by hundreds of people and still feel like you're all alone when you get wounded. Would somebody help me preach this morning? You get all alone. And it may not be anything that you have done that's wrong or sinful. You just feel wounded. We've got a number of people here that recently have had loved ones that have passed. And they'll tell you, you feel all alone in a great big world. Even though love is being poured out, you still feel alone. Some here today, you've been sick. You've been isolated from God's house. And the devil says you're all alone. But that priest has already done the cleansing. And for 8 days, that leper said, if I can just get there to the house of God. That priest has some oil. And he can do something with that oil that nothing else can do. He can soothe the wounds and make me feel fit again. And he said, if I can just get to the place where the oil is applied and then finally it pours over me until it comes down. You know what God's saying? There's oil for the wounded. There's oil for the wounded. Does it come? Yes, it comes. A few weeks ago, I watched Tony Lohr back here. Stand up, Tony. I watched Tony Lohr back here. He comes service after service. His dad near death. And I saw it in your eyes. Tony, I saw how discouraged you were. If I had a daddy like that and in my life at this stage, I can tell you I know what it is. My dad was like that. An old time shouting preacher. Your dad was an old time shouting Christian. And he went to be with the Lord. And I know he felt like everything was all isolated and alone. But there he was this morning. He finally got the overflow of the oil. And the overflow made him stand and bless the Lord. I'd say you'll shout twice as much as your dad ever shouted. Thank God there is oil for the wounded. An overflowing. There it is. An overflowing. Well, glory to God. It's an overflowing of the oil. I can't explain it. All I can say is, you're doing the right thing. Denise, you don't feel blessed today. And you don't feel like there's an overflowing. But I promise you, God has a storehouse of oil. And God saw all the things that you've done. And He sees what your family's gone through. And one day, out of nowhere, the mighty peace and power of the Holy Spirit will rise up. And suddenly God will say, it's all right, I'm taking care of all the wounds. I'm healing the wounds. I'm soothing the wounds. The truth is, we go from the cruise to the cellar. More than enough. Well, I'm enjoying myself this morning. I don't enjoy circumstances. And I don't enjoy problems. I don't enjoy the heartache that I go through and that our people go through. But I do enjoy the overflowing of the oil. It's not that it always makes you shout. It just gives you soothing. It helps you feel like you belong again. Like I'm going to make it. I'm going to get through this. God's going to help me through all of this. The soothing power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of you, you've been wounded. Wounded by things others have said. Wounded by things others have done. Wounded because of things that's happened out of your control in your life. I've got news for you. I'm not the priest. There is a high priest. And when you get under the throne, you'll find out He has more than enough. Everything that you need, He has it. There is an overflowing supply of oil. Some of you need to move from the cruise to the cellar today. Some of you need to say, Lord, I'll take that job. It might be unappreciated. And it might be underground. Nobody else knows that I'm there. Living in secret, but I'm doing a work for God in secret. In my prayer closet, I'm bombarding heaven for others. That's when we become a blessing to others. That's what we want. It's not about us all the time. It's about us becoming a blessing to others.